Major support for The Reading Life comes from Octavia Books and the Louisiana Endowment for the Humanities. Hello and welcome to The Reading Life, your weekly look at the Louisiana literary scene. I'm Susan Larson. This week, I'll be talking with Alice Quinn, editor of the new poetry anthology, Together in a Sudden Strangeness, America's Poets Respond to the Pandemic. And New Orleans poet Peter Cooley will read his poem in that anthology. We'll also hear from Megan Holt, executive director of Words and Music, a literary feast in New Orleans. Alice Quinn wears many hats in the poetry world. She was the executive director of the Poetry Society of America for 18 years, the poetry editor at The New Yorker for 22 years, and before that, an editor at Alfred Knopf. She is also the editor of Edgar Allan Poe and The Jukebox, uncollected poems, drafts, and fragments by Elizabeth Bishop, as well as the forthcoming edition of Bishop's Journals. Today, we're talking about her new book, Together in a Sudden Strangeness, America's Poets Respond to the Pandemic. The title comes from a poem by Pablo Neruda, Keeping Quiet, which contains the lines, "We would all be together in a sudden strangeness." Alice, welcome.
Thank you, Susan. It's great to speak with you.
So here we are together in a sudden strangeness. So let's talk about that title, which is so perfect, and how quickly this book came together.
The Neruda poem is extraordinary. The version from which I drew the title was translated by Alistair Reed, who was the longtime New Yorker contributor and poet. And towards the end of that, his translation of that Neruda poem, the lines really struck me so powerfully, other than the one that has the title, is perhaps the earth can teach us as when everything seems dead and later proves to be alive.
Mm-hmm.
We seem to be in a moment of a new sea change, too, so I'm hoping for that. You know, I was approached to do this book by a colleague from the 1990s in The New Yorker who came to The New Yorker when Tina Brown was editor. His name is David Kuhn, and he has a literary agency. He just had the idea that we should have an anthology, and he knew that I knew hundreds and hundreds of poets.
So, which you do.
Yeah. And March 26th, I reached out to 125 poets, which was about the number of emails I had up here in the country on my computer, and I asked all the poets to recommend other poets whom they might know were writing poems in response to the pandemic. So I had a lot of help from poets, and we actually put together the first iteration of the anthology in 40 days, the biblical 40 days.
That's a record.
Yeah, from March 26th to June 5th. And then the second phase of the pandemic moment, the Black Lives Matter, and the more direct address to all of the inequities in our system and our world resulted in my reaching out to more poets after the ebook was published on June 9th. And in a matter of a month or so, we had another 22 very powerful poems, including terrific poems by Jericho Brown and Claudia Rankine and Sally Wen Mao. Really extraordinary.
I'm curious, since you wrote to so many poets, if you found many who weren't able to write.
You know, there were quite a number of people who were unsatisfied with what they had done. Mm-hmm. And they were willing to show it to me, but they themselves were insecure about it. And whenever I felt that, I just said, give it time.
Right,
Show the other books, you know.
Well, it's interesting to me because you look back on an event like this that's so big. And it's one of the first things that comes in the arc of literature that responds to it after the news is poetry, because fiction takes so long. And I remember after Katrina how many amazing poems just kind of blazed forth. And I know that one of the things that's fascinated you about poetry for a long time is the idea of bravery in poetry.
Oh, yes. right. We had an event.
Yes.
The new school called Bravery in Poetry. Poets talked about the poets who came before them, who mattered with respect to bravery.
And there's a lot of bravery in this book, too, I think, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, people are, well, you know, we have poems by doctors, and we have poems by fathers writing to children, and we have three poems by poets whose last name is Phillips.
I know.
In New Orleans, we have Peter Cooley and Nicole Cooley, a father and daughter. I guess the bravery may be expressed in confronting isolation and fear, solitude, although I do think a lot of poets found themselves partaking of what John Clare referred to as hermit joy. A number of poets said, this is bad for people who have very little, but it's not bad for poets because solitude is good for poets.
That's right. It's not bad for poets. I felt some hermit joy myself, actually.
Yeah, I did too. You know, there are poets who've had the virus, and there are poets who've had relatives and parents who've died during this time. There's a wonderful poem by Camilla Aisha Moon called Storm, which is seriously beautiful, grave poem. And it has the most touching ending. It says, you know, millions weather this 21st century unholy Passover, homes bereft and singed forever. The unruly rich in charge elect themselves gods, maniacal and merciless, every warning unheeded, no bona fide mark of protection this time, no choice. And it has this really beautiful ending because it's a cri de coeur.
Talk about that, because that is what distinguishes all these poems, I think.
Yes, they are many of them cries from the heart. And hers ends, candlelight for two is a date. I faintly remember those. Candlelight alone is a seance. Forgive me, my dearly departed, for crying out so often, for still needing you so damn much. So some of them are very direct, but, you know, there are other poems that are very jaunty. Tomas Q. Marin has a wonderful poem that begins with its title is Vallejo, and that's because whenever he sneezes, his wife says, it sounds like the name of the poet, and she says, Vallejo! And he begins his poem, you can't just sneeze anywhere anymore. And he's pushing a little child in the stroller, his little boy. He says, when the sidewalk ended like a roll of floss, I crossed the street, and the old woman walking her Jack Russell said, oh, you didn't need to cross.
Oh, right.
Then at the end, he says, you know, to the children, I love you, but can you take your sister and please slip away from gravity in the flying saucer of your baba black sheep? I don't want you to see the planet this sad. Tell him to fly around the earth as fast as Superman did in 1978. Your mama was the age you are now when that happened. Looking back, that time doesn't seem so bad anymore. Tell him to fly counterclockwise because the future waits in that direction. You'll like it there. It's safe enough that a dish can still run away with a spoon.
Oh, those were the days. Those were...
But, I mean, it shows you the range. There are beautiful poems to spring because so much of this began at that moment in March. And there are poems that are kind of jaunty and funny poems, too. April Bernard has one marvelous poem about her mother. 6 months after death, my mother has come to haunt me. And then she goes on, this is her kind of catastrophe, rife with irony and fear and small domestic refinements of infinite unimportance as we sail about the house and yard, posing for no one.
Small domestic refinements. Oh.
We were also lucky, Susan, because as my editor, Deb Garrison, said, the fate smiled on us because the poems are arranged alphabetically by the poet's last names, and it begins with Julia Alvarez and ends with Matthew Zubruder.
That was great.
Perfect.
And the last words are quite wonderful, too.
Yeah, the last words of Matthew's poem, I love my son, his little bear pajamas, my wife, the grass, the ends of poems. I love the fact that the book ends with the line, "The ends of poems."
It's perfect. So talk a little bit about the New Orleans poets in this anthology. You know, Jericho Brown went to the University of New Orleans here.
Yes, yes. Well, I associate New Orleans with literary work.
Thank you.
Of course. And, you know, I've known Peter Pooley quite a while now. I've been down to Tulane to his wonderful poetry event series there and introduced a few poets. And I know Nicole, his daughter, because she directs the writing program at Queens College in New York City. And we had a wonderful correspondence, Nicole and I, about this poem, because it went through many iterations. She was reaching out to speak to her daughters in the poem, and it was Easter, and she said, "At home, I scrub the plastic eggs, I stuff them with chocolate, I listen to the news from Queens, the Counts of the Dead, while thinking about my students." So that's in the poem, but she was circling and circling the unspoken center of the poem, which was the death of her mother.
Yes.
And right in the middle of this poem are two sentences that stopped my heart. 2 years ago in New Orleans, I remember wanting to snap the heads off daffodils because my mother was dead, craving that violence. That was the heart of that poem. And her father is a marvelous lyric poet, too, and I understand he's going to read his poem, so I won't quote from it.
And everybody talks about, you know, in the future when your grandchildren come to you and say, "What did you do? What was it like?" This is the sort of book you can give someone to tell them what it was like, I think.
To express the panoply.
So much of it. Well, we've been talking with Alice Quinn, editor of the new anthology, Together in a Sudden Strangeness, America's Poets Respond to the Pandemic. She will appear in a Zoom conversation with contributors Nicole Cooley, Peter Cooley, Cornelius Eady, Ada Limon, and Laura Mullen, Thursday, November 19th at 6. Go to GardenDistrictBookshop.com to register. And Alice, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Susan. It's so lovely to speak to you.
You too. Peter Cooley joins us to read his poem, Sheltering in Place, New Orleans, April 2020.
My poem, Sheltering in Place, I wrote based upon imagination and experience, which is where all my stuff comes from. It was literally written in regard to my neighbor who has sweet peas growing along her fence. And this woman is a neonatal intensive care nurse at Ochsner Hospital right near my house. And that is significant to me because my son was in that neonatal intensive care unit 36 years ago, although she was not his nurse. So there's a very personal note in that. I had no idea how to respond to the COVID crisis in any way whatsoever. Of course, like everything I write, I thought, I can't write this, I can't do it, but I always jump over that fence or that barbed wire and proceed. So I started with something very small. And then I wanted to talk about, too, the fact that I am in good health at my age, and I'm not affected by the COVID directly. But the hospital that I mentioned in the poem, too, has personal significance for me. Not only was my son born there, but I am a pastoral care visitor for the Episcopal Church, too.
Oh.
And that has been canceled. All of those services and volunteer opportunities are canceled because of COVID. So I think I'm responding to that. Here's my poem. Sheltering in Place, New Orleans, April 2020. Sweet peas on my coffee table insist they start this poem. Once they might have called up a painting by Monet, but today they're just some image of mortality. I snipped quickly from my neighbor's front yard fence. After shaking, I read her note. Please, please, take. COVID-19, we're sheltering in place. I jog around the block. She walks to work. Emergency NICU nurse at our neighborhood hospital. Over there, somebody's being born. somebody's dying. Somebody's being tested. How much this minute I crave the sweet pea odor of transfiguration. Oh no, the cut flower scent is just rusted garden shears. I savor my sense of smell. I'm well. I'm safe at home. Reader, help me tongue taste these flowers' hues. Piquant crimsons, tart amethysts, honey ambers. While I've been writing here, someone over there died. Thank you.
Oh, Peter, thank you so much. That's such a beautiful poem.
Well, thank you, thank you, thank you.
And isn't it special to share being in this anthology with Nicole?
Oh, definitely, totally, right side by side there, yes.
It's a marvelous thing.
Oh, it's a great anthology. It's beautiful, too, and chopped it beautiful. The cover's beautiful, everything, you know.
I know. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're part of it. We just heard Peter Cooley read his poem Sheltering in Place from the new anthology Together in a Sudden Strangeness, America's Poets Respond to the Pandemic. Always great to talk with Megan Holt, who works on many of the big events of the literary year in New Orleans. She directs One Book, One New Orleans, the community-wide reading initiative, as well as Words and Music, a literary feast in New Orleans. The latter is coming up fast, November 19th through 22nd. Megan, I'm so happy to talk with you.
I'm so happy to be back. How are you?
Great. Now, you've had to be one of the pioneers in making the pivot to online events, and you've done some amazing programming for this year's selection, New Orleans Griot, the Tom Dent Reader, edited by Kalamu Yassalam. So talk a little bit about that process and that quick thinking response.
Honestly, I cannot really take credit for the quick thinking response. That was the brainchild of our events team led by Liz Granite in particular. She has been amazing. She came up with this concept of the Griot Work series, in which we got local writers to read pieces of Tom Dent's work. And then we took those recordings of them reading and paired them with video and really brought those pieces to life and posted those on YouTube. We also started working with Candace Huber of Tubby and Coos Bookshop to do some online programming, and we've been able to have writing workshops, we've been able to have panel discussions, we've been able to have lectures, all live streamed on Facebook and YouTube, so we can really continue that mission of bringing free, high-quality programming to the public and celebrating our reading life together.
Anything we can do to make Tom Dent's work better known is worth the effort, isn't it?
Absolutely. And we've got some good stuff coming up in Words and Music around Tom Dent as well, including a performance of Ritual Murder by the No Dream Deferred Theater Company, which will include some cast members who did the original performance with Tom Dent.
Oh, that's spectacular. So Words and Music starts November 19th, and you've carved out a kind of special thematic niche for this festival. So talk a little bit about your vision for it, because you've only taken it over fairly recently, so you're still shaping the future.
Yes, absolutely. So our vision for Words and Music in a nutshell is a space where everyone's voice is valued and validated. So we're really welcoming authors from all stages of their career to the festival to really come into community with one another and work on their craft and become that sort of source of support that I think we all really need right now, and we always really need in the artistic community. And beyond that, I'm very, very much aware that we need in New Orleans to have a festival celebrating us. So the thing that I'm most proud of is that every single panel or performance or discussion has some New Orleans-focused component, whether it's a book about the city or whether it's a moderator who lives here or someone who was raised here but now lives somewhere else. So we really get to see a showcase of the talent that our city has to offer and put that talent in dialogue with national and world-renowned writers.
Well, I love that you're kicking off with Kelly Harris DeBerry and Jarvis DeBerry as your keynote speakers.
They are national treasures, aren't they?
Yes.
They're amazing. And I'm so excited about this because I have seen her read several times. I feel like I've seen him speak once, but I've never seen them together doing a session. And so Kelly is going to be doing her book, Freedom Knows My Name. Jarvis is doing his book, I Feel to Believe. They're both published by local publishers, Xavier Review Press and UNO Press. So they'll be reading pieces from those. And then Megan Braden Terry, who's a freelance journalist, will be interviewing them about love, life, writing, and everything in between.
And you're recognizing wonderful poets. There are so many wonderful poets, but one of the things that I look forward to is the conversation with Niyo Sundari. And you also have State Poet Laureate John Warner Smith, who's taking part. So tell us some of the other people who'll be there.
So we're really excited to have Pulitzer Prize-winning poet Taimba Jess as well.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be reading Poets, Pandemics, and Presidents, A Reading for These Times, which is our late-night lit session. And he'll be reading along with Jane Spoken Word, Lupe Mendez, Justin Rogers, and Charisma Price. And then Stacey Balkin has also curated a wonderful event called Heartbreak or Research, Poets on the Writing Process. And I'm really excited about that one because it's all women poets. And I really love to see a group of powerful women doing their thing.
And I love the idea of heartbreak or research, too. I mean,
me too. And, you know, the thing that you mentioned about John Warner Smith and Niyo Sundari, Chris Romaguera, who's also a local poet and who writes a blog for Plowshares, he'll be interviewing both of those.
Mm-hmm.
And he also really curated the Osundari event. That was his brainchild, and he did the work and brought that to life. And I think that's another thing that makes me really excited about Words and Music is all of these local folks have stepped up and said, here's my vision. I'd love to see it happen at this festival. And then it comes to life in these really cool ways that I could have never imagined alone.
Oh, that's the best. That's just the best. We've been talking with Megan Holt about upcoming Words and Music, a literary feast in New Orleans. It starts November 19th and runs through the 22nd. For more information and tickets, go to wordsandmusic.org. Megan, thank you so much for all your hard work.
Thank you for having me, Susan. And I hope you enjoy the festival.
Absolutely. Here's what's on tap in the literary life this week. Akasha Robot signs her book of New Orleans photographs, Death, Magic, Abundance. Saturday, November 14th from 1 to 3 at Blue Cypress Books. Outdoor event, socially distanced and masked. Lauren Groff, author of Florida, Fates and Furies, and many other works, is the 2020 Zale Kimmerling Writer at Newcomb College Institute this year. She appears in a Zoom conversation with novelist Katie Simpson Smith, Tuesday, November 17th at 6:30. For more information and to register, go to newcomb.tulane.edu/calendar. Editor Alice Quinn appears in a Zoom conversation with Nicole Cooley, Peter Cooley, Cornelius Eady, Ada Limon, and Laura Mullen, all contributors to Together in a Sudden Strangeness, America's Poets Respond to the Pandemic. That's Thursday, November 19th at 6. For information, go to GardenDistrictBookshop.com. This is a rescheduled event. Edward Ball discusses his book, Life of a Klansman, A Family History and White Supremacy, in a Zoom discussion with Michael Lomax, the president and CEO of the United Negro College Fund and former president of Dillard University. That's Monday, November 23rd at 6. Free, but go to GardenDistrictBookshop.com to register. The 7th Annual Bayou Soul Literary Conference for Teen Writers, November 18th through 20th, based in Baton Rouge, will be virtual this year, with a full slate of writers and performers. Check out bswliteraryconference.com to register, and it's all free. Words and Music, a Literary Feast in New Orleans, takes place November 19th through 22nd in a new online incarnation. Check out wordsandmusic.org for complete schedule. A few things to look forward to. Friday, November 20th at 3, the Podunk Review and Words and Music present the winners and runners-up of the 2020 Words and Music Writing Competition. They are Katie Devine, Constance Adler, Elizabeth Gross, Titus Chalk, Andy Young, and R. Tiara Malone. And Sunday, November 22nd at noon, don't miss an online performance of Tom Dent's great play, Ritual Murder. And congratulations to John Barry, author of Rising Tide, The Great Mississippi Flood of 1927 and How It Changed America, as well as The Great Influenza. He is the recipient of the Louisiana Writer Award for 2020, and though the Louisiana Book Festival this year was canceled, you can see an interview with John on the festival's YouTube channel. Such a well-deserved honor for a writer whose work has proven eerily prophetic. Support for The Reading Life comes from Octavia Books, the Louisiana Endowment for the Humanities, and the Hillis Foundation. The theme song for The Reading Life is by Matt Perrine and Sunflower City. The Reading Life is produced by George Ingmeyer and is a production of WWNO. You can listen to us anytime or subscribe to our podcast at WWNO.org. And you can email us at thereadinglife@WWNO.org.